All right, Tulip Bang. This is Michael McDonald, and we have news about Brazil again. Tudo bem. Here we are again, and I ask you, are you following the Women's World Cup? Now, of course, I live in Canada, I'm an American, and I do a show about Brazil. But let's talk about the Brazil ladies team. They won their first game, 4-0 against Panama. Then, sadly, they were defeated by France, 1-0. On August 2nd, they take on Jamaica. Winning that will get them to the final, this group of 16. Let's cheer them on. August the 2nd at 7 a.m. I'm not even sure what time that is local. It's probably Australian time, but look it up. Brazil plays Jamaica for a spot in the final 16. Hi, everyone. This is Michael McDonald. We are back with more news about Brazil to inform you about the craziest country in South America. Thank you all for joining me today. It's my pleasure to tell you more about the country that speaks at least 180 languages. Although Portuguese is the official one, the other languages are spoken mostly by about 160,000 indigenous people. Speaking of languages, did anybody get the answer to the question I asked last time? Você fala quantas línguas? If you did, but didn't email us and let us know, there is no winger, ding, ding, ding. But it was, how many languages do you speak? I'm hoping that Leah will put in the exact way it sounds in actual Portuguese and not my really bad Portuguese.
Você fala quantas línguas?
Você fala quantas línguas? How many languages do you speak? Now, for those of you who don't know, the purpose of this is to get to know Brazil as a country, not just for Copacabana Beach, big boobs on girls on Copacabana Beach, and partying and the big statue of Jesus. It's to know that the country is diverse. It's got political trouble. It's got financial trouble. It's got every trouble that every country in the world expresses. And we want to get away from it and make it a real country. And so, did you know that Brazil is vast? It is almost as big as the United States, actually about the same size as the United States of America. And the best way to viajar, which means go, from place to place, from far away is ônibus, avião, trens. And you could probably go by renting a car, which I cannot pronounce and I will work on for the end of the segment. These are the things that we want to know about Brazil, to make it a country that we care about rather than just fantasize about. So, here we go with our first story of the day. And we start with Constance Melaret in Rio de Janeiro for The Guardian on July 20th, titled The Brazilian Constitution Translated into indigenous language for the first time. Translation into Nimgatu hailed as a historical moment for the country and its native populations. The Brazilian Constitution has gained its first ever official translation into an indigenous language in what has been hailed as a historic moment for the country and its native populations. The translation into Nimgatu was unveiled on Wednesday in São Gabriel de Cojeira, Cachoeira.
São Gabriel da Cachoeira.
A town deep in the Amazon, in a ceremony attended by Brazilian authorities and indigenous leaders. Today is a milestone in our history's constitutional history, said Rosa Weber, the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, which acts as the guardian of the Constitution. Brazil's indigenous movement played an active role in enshrining the recognition and protection of their culture and way of life in the 1988 Constitution, which was drafted by an elected constituent assembly as the country emerged from a 2-decade-long military dictatorship. But until now, indigenous Brazilians have not been able to read up on their constitutional rights in a language of their own. Also known as the Amazonian General Language, Niigatu is the only living modern version of Tupi, a lingua franca used to communicate between different groups in the Amazon. Brazil's National Justice Council coordinated the work of translation, which was carried out by a group of 15 bilingual indigenous people from Alto Rio Negro and Medio Tabios Tapajós regions. Pardon me, my producer has given me the pronunciations and I am not doing them well.
Hang in there, baby. You're doing great. I'm proud of you.
We are in a country of immense diversity, and I don't hear our language spoken in our spaces. We need to be involved. Before being indigenous, we are people we have a right to respect, said Anore Kamari, one of the translators. Brazil's more than 305 ethnic groups speak 274 indigenous languages, but only Portuguese is considered an official language. Judicial authorities present in São Gabriel de Cojeira welcomed the publication of the translated constitution as an important step toward preserving Brazil's cultural and linguistic diversity, as well as raising awareness around indigenous rights and guaranteeing a fairer state. It's a sign of esteem and respect for indigenous language and culture, said Weber. It's progress from the judiciary, a recognition of our characteristics. It's a way of guaranteeing access to information and justice, said Dinaman Tucha, an executive coordinator of the Indigenous Umbrella Movement, Articulation of Indigenous People of Brazil. We hope that one day all indigenous language will get a translation. Advocates noted, however, that the indigenous translation of the Magna Carta will mean nothing without the application of the principles laid out in it. Indigenous rights remain under constant assault in Brazil despite constitutional protections, a situation that worsened under former President Jair Bolsonaro and which the Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva administration is struggling to reverse amid opposition from a conservative Congress. Let the Constitution not just be written, but be put into practice, said Joana Wapichana, the first native Brazilian to head the country's Indigenous Affairs, FUNAI. I remember that pronunciation, folks. One moment. We'll be back with our next story. We now move on to check out this one from Associated Press by Mauricio Savarese, last updated on July 25th, titled Brazil Regulates Sport Betting and Tax Companies Amid Scandal. Brazil's government issued a provisional decree on Tuesday to authorize sports betting and tax companies' revenues by 18%. The move comes amid a sprawling investigation that ensnared dozens of players in a match-fixing scandal. President Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva decree was sent to Congress, which needs to vote on it on the next 120 days, so it remains valid. Brazil's finance ministry expects to collect at least 2 billion reais, $420 million, in tax from betting companies next year if the provisional measure is confirmed. Brazilian bettors will not pay tax if they make gains amounting to almost $445 on each bet. Any gains above that will make bettors pay 30% income tax. The decree comes less than 1 year after an investigation by the attorney's office in Goiás showed that some players had been offered between $10,000 and $20,000 to perform specific actions, like receiving yellow cards or giving away penalty kicks. Alleged criminals would then profit on betting sites. Marcos Sabia, the CEO of Galera da Bet, betting company, a sponsor of the Brazilian championship, said in a statement he approves of the move. This decree is welcome because it brings us some regulation and legal protection, Sabia said. It establishes the limits to the operation of betting companies, rights and assurances for bettors, the prohibition for companies that do not have a license, and the means for cooperation between authorities and betting companies so we fight match fixing. The investigation has spread to Brazil's Congress and federal police this year, including about 20 matches of the country's top flight and second divisions, plus some of the local state leagues. A district attorney told the Associated Press in May that the scandal has potential international reach. Local media reported that suspected criminals mentioned having contacts in the United States, Greece, and Lithuania. A court in Goiás has already authorized charges against 31 people accused of taking part in the scheme, including 15 soccer players in Brazil's first and second divisions. I'm not sure, Leah, why you put soccer in there, but I know full well it's called football there in Brazil. Now, it just seems to me, I'm going to just spout off my little mouth here. Is there nothing that is not fixed, like elections and sports matches? And it's just a game of greed. And I know I'm only one little voice. I'm not any, I can say what I want to say, but boy, does it ever make, it takes the fun out of watching or enthusing or even caring about any of these things. Like, I know that the little guy is not going to get a better minimum wage until something catastrophic happens in not probably my lifetime. Hopefully in yours, younger listeners, but in mine, I'm Generation X, and we were built tough like Ford, so we're going to make it through. Probably more bitter than we ever thought we would be, but we always learned to take care of ourselves because we had a key to the house and mom and dad were at work. We learned to survive and live, but it just seems to get less of a joy for the you who are like following behind us. And I'm sorry about that, people. I'm really sorry about that. And I mean that deeply. Lastly, today we have, written by Lissandra Paraguasu and Gabrielle Stargartner, edited by Brad Haynes, David Holmes, and Richard Chang for Reuters on July 22nd, headlined, Lula rolls back Bolsonaro's looser Brazilian gun laws controls. Brazilian President Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva on Friday signed an executive order tightening civilian access to firearms in a bid to slow a surge in gun ownership during the presidency of his far-right predecessor, Jair Bolsonaro. The decree fulfills a campaign promise by Lula, who criticized looser gun controls under Bolsonaro, arguing they were responsible for a wave of political violence during last year's election. Bolsonaro, who urged his supporters to arm themselves or risk being enslaved, has said guns make Brazil safer, pointing to a lower murder rate during his time in office. I need to do that, but we'll keep going here. The country has nearly 800,000 registered gun owners, up from 117,467 in 2018 when Bolsonaro was elected, according to the 2023 Brazilian Yearbook of Public Security. Bolsonaro turbocharged gun culture by loosening restrictions on hunters, marksmen, or collectors, also known as CAC, making it easier for people to register such permits and stockpile weapons. Are we in Florida? Is this like a free permit to carry? You don't even need one? Whew. I shouldn't do this as a newscaster, but I did. Lula's decree rolled back firearms access for that group. A registered hunter can now own 6 weapons instead of the previous 30, including up to 15 restricted firearms. Hunters will also have access to fewer bullets and need clearance from Environmental Protection Agency, IBAMA. Ha, I remember that one too. Didn't even need it spelled out. It is one thing for a citizen to have a gun at home for protection and assurance, but we cannot allow there to be arsenals of weapons in people's hands, Lula said in a speech at an event to present the measures. We will continue to fight for a disarmed country. Who has to be well armed is the Brazilian police, is the Brazilian armed forces, the president said, added. Lula also passed responsibility for civilian weapons control from the army to the federal police. The army was criticized for weak oversight, incomplete databases, little transparency, and poor information sharing with law enforcement agencies. The 9mm handgun, a favorite of those with CAC permits, will no longer be accessible to civilians. Lula's decree also closes a loophole that allowed many gun owners to go out in public with loaded weapons if they claimed to be going to a gun club. Oh, how convenient. Gun owners who bought their weapons during the previous administration will not be forced to give them up, but the decree envisions a buyback program starting this year. Again, much like the United States of America, this is outrageous. I don't understand how they don't understand that keeping our children protected means getting AR-15s off the streets and 9mm and all of these things that, yes, I know people with guns kill people, but why are we allowing them to have the guns in the first place? that does it for another episode, but I'm going to leave you with this challenge for next week. And I want to ask you, please, in the description or an email or a Twitter or whatever you're going to do, let us know, what do you think como se chega means? Como se chega? Let me know so we can discuss it in our next episode. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. If you want to know more, don't forget to subscribe and review the show on your favorite app. Links to all the sources are available in the episode description. Please send us a message on Twitter at News About Brazil. A big, big, big thank you to The Guardian, Associated Press, Reuters, Doug Maxwell Media, Chris Hogan, and YouTube Audio Library. Leah Drummond, the magnificent, is the producer of the show, and I'm grateful for her. You should be too. Please don't forget to check out my own show in association with Leah Drummond as well, who's also magnificent over there because I send music her way and she has to try and fit it in. But please go on to all your favorite platforms and look up Backroom Chatter, where we talk about everything, anything, and nothing at the same time. Thank you so very much. I'm so grateful. I'm so excited. Life gets weird, but this keeps me grounded. Thank you, Leah, for asking me. Thank you, listeners, for listening. And thank you for Brazil for being the craziest country in South America.